Our scripture reading today is from 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 20 in the New International Version. This is where the Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever, because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli said. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. Before inviting Pat up here, I want to share a verse from Philippians that says, "So then, dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but also in my absence, continue working out your salvation with awe and reverence." Sometimes in our spiritual journey, we need to have a friend come beside us and prayerfully listen to what we're saying and help us recognize God's deep and transforming ways in our lives. And Pat Shaver is one of those people. She's a spiritual director who partners with believers to help them hear from the Lord and help them to respond in life-giving ways. We thank you so much for agreeing to be with us, Pat. I had dinner with her last night. She's wonderful. Welcome to our congregation. Thank you.
Good morning. Lord, we are here this morning because we want to know you better. Guide my speaking and our listening so that we may hear your word of life and love to us. Amen. So at the critical point of this story, we have little Sam lying there in bed, waiting for God to speak. A few hours ago, he didn't even know God did speak. He'd probably heard about dreams and visions, but not about words, because the word of the Lord had been rare. But now he's lying there, waiting for God. Imagine what must have gone through his mind. Have I missed my chance? Will God speak again? Why me? Maybe I should just run away. I suspect he was thinking all of this and feeling both excited and utterly terrified. And yet he sticks it out. He lies there and waits, even though every cell in him must have wanted to run. He waited, because although it was scary, there was something amazing about the idea that God might be trying to speak to him. I imagine that the fact that God knew his name helped, so he knew that God wasn't just looking for some generic priest. And when God does call his name, he summons up his courage and he responds as he's been instructed. Speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening. I invite you to take a moment and close your eyes, and I won't make you talk about it, I promise. Take a few deep breaths to cleanse and calm your mind. Now imagine yourself opening your heart and saying those words to God. Speak, for your servant is listening. What happens in you when you imagine yourself saying that to God? Are you filled with excitement or panic? Does your heart lift or does your stomach clench? What thoughts come to mind? Are you able to imagine yourself saying the words? Or does your mind immediately jump in with an objection? Do you immediately think, that doesn't happen anymore, or that's too woo-woo for me, or maybe it's, if God spoke, how would I know that it wasn't just my own thoughts? Often we fall back on some version of, I'm not ready yet. When the kids get older and I have more time, when I learn more about how to pray, then I'll be ready to hear from God. So open your eyes. Thank you very much. Sometimes the enormity of the consequences of opening ourselves to God stops us. What if I hear? It might shake up my life. It might change everything. Truth to tell, the idea of the unknown, of mystery, makes us nervous. And yet there's something deeply compelling about a God who is willing to break into our lives in unexpected ways. A God who calls us by name, who doesn't give up, but keeps calling to give us time to notice that something's going on. A God who wants to communicate with us, to speak to us specifically, in the midst of the realities of our life. So what about the idea of God speaking to us directly, the way God did to Samuel? In the Gospel of John, Jesus told his disciples, I have many things to tell you now, but you cannot bear them. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. How do we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, to let the Spirit speak? Is it something that we can learn? What does it look like when God speaks to us? How do we know that it's God and not us? The power of stories, especially faith journey stories, is that hearing how someone else has experienced God gives us a chance to notice how God might be inviting us. And so this morning, I'm going to share something that I've found challenging and fascinating in the last couple of years. What I've learned about a new way of listening to God. My hope is that this won't just be theoretical, but that you will actually walk out with some practical information so that if you decide you want to give it a try, you can. We are all unique. What speaks to one person may not mean anything to somebody else. And so this isn't prescriptive, it's just my experience. Offered in the hope that it will at least give you something to think about, and maybe even will resonate with you at some point. I've been learning to listen to God in prayer in a way that I hadn't run into before, listening on behalf of others. The idea is that with a particular person or group in mind, you open your mind and your heart to the Lord and then wait to see what shows up. Let me quickly confess that the waiting is by far the hardest part for me. Every insecurity I have wants to come rushing in. I'm afraid that God won't show up. I'm afraid that God will show up and I'll be so distracted I won't notice. I'm afraid I'll interpret something as coming from God that's really mine. I'm afraid nothing will come and I'll look and feel really stupid. But most every time, it feels like I'm plunging downhill on a roller coaster each time I do it. And my family will tell you, I hate roller coasters. So why do I keep doing it? It's because I've seen and experienced some things like the following. Kayaks. My mind was stuck on kayaks. I had agreed, now this is me wanting new experiences, okay? So I'd agreed to be part of a team that prays monthly for a church in Los Angeles. And as part of that prayer, we listen to God on behalf of the church, and we report back to the church what we hear. This was the designated week to pray, and I happened to be at a family reunion in Lake Tahoe, California. Every time I tried to pray for the church, kayaks came to mind. I was pretty new at the process. To be honest, the only reason that I agreed to it was that I deeply trust Jen, the person who was coordinating it, and I figured that I had a safety measure in place, that she would be a safety measure, that if I was coming in really off target, she would stop it and not sit it any further. So there I was at Lake Tahoe. Well, of course, kayaks kept coming to mind. They were everywhere. I was seeing them every day. This had to be my thoughts getting in the way. It couldn't really be what God was trying to show me. Could it? About the fifth time in multiple days that I tried to pray and kayaks came up, I started questioning my assumption that it was just my thoughts getting in the way. If this image was from God, what might God be trying to convey? I let my mind notice the aspects of the kayaks. They were some kind of very sturdy, double-walled plastic. And they looked like they would be really difficult to sink. I let what I noticed and the associations that came up with it sort of unfold. Ultimately, this is the report that I sent in. I had an image of God as the boat carrying each person. The boat was strong and designed to be extremely stable, so it would stay upright even in stormy seas. And it was strong enough to not be punctured or damaged by encounters with rocks that would have sunk other boats. The person in the kayak needed to paddle, but could trust and rest in the fact that no matter what the boat encountered, it would withstand anything that came up. Now, when I sent that in, I also included a note to Jen saying, I think I really missed the boat on this one. The week that we were praying for this LA church, folks from the church were in Mexico on a mission trip. After they returned, Chris, the pastor, sent us this email. This is so good. What is amazing to me is that on our last day, an elder of the church invited us to her home. After the meal, she began to share her testimony with us. The prophetic word that she got early in her ministry when her husband left her and she was barely hanging on financially was, keep rowing the boat, because Jesus is in it, and eventually you will land. She kept saying that to us over and over. keep rowing the boat. And the image really stuck with me. So you can imagine how fired up I feel to see that the word for the team was centered around a boat. Now, how sweet is that? I have never met Chris, nor visited his church. I have a picture of a few of them on my refrigerator. That's as close as we've gotten. If I were writing a play, I would not have come up with that particular scenario. But God knows Chris and his team. God knew their hearts, their fears, their gifts, how exhausted they were. God knew what would speak to them and what would bless them. And I got to be the vehicle for that blessing, and that blessed me. It gave me more confidence in my ability to listen to God. And somehow at the same time, it also helped me to relax about what I hear or don't hear from God. It also reminded me of God's sweetness, that God can speak to us in a way no other can because God knows us so well. Not every experience in listening for others is this powerful. It's a learning process, so we need to practice. Sometimes we're right on, other times everything feels much more fuzzy, sometimes nothing comes at all. But it's an interesting experience of being church together. It's gotten me listening to God both more concretely and more frequently. Why might we want to try this? It's new and different. We're afraid we might look stupid. It certainly makes you feel vulnerable. But it is also really beautiful and sweet. When I started trying it in a group, I was stunned at the ways that God met people. I saw God's heart in a new way. My heart began to see and understand how unique each person was, and how much God loves to meet us and speak to us in our uniqueness. Let's see what we can learn about listening in this way by looking at how God worked with Sam. This isn't a 1-2-3 process. It's some ideas about how you might move toward embracing listening to God more fully. Right off the bat, we should notice that God didn't expect Sam to get it right the first time. God kept calling his name and letting him run to Eli until finally Eli figured out what was going on and was able to give Sam some instructions. Sometimes we only understand in hindsight, and that's okay. Trying something new is scary, and whenever we try something new, there's a fair amount of trial and error and learning involved. That's okay. The place that Sam had heard God calling was his bed, so that's where Eli told him to return to. He needed to place himself in God's presence. For us, placing ourselves in God's presence means that we bring our awareness and focus to God. Some of the ways that people do that are through praise, song, prayer, scripture, or praying in a prayer language if they have one. The primary concern for anybody who tries to do this kind of listening to the Spirit is always, how do we distinguish God's voice from our own thoughts? Tilden Norberg and Robert Weber encourage us to pray for the grace to know God's voice. Returning to our passage, Sam lay down and waited, listening for God's voice. How do we listen? When we listen, we open our minds and hearts and wait for God. One of the things that tends to get in our way of listening is that our mind can start creating a constant stream of chatter. The most helpful process I've heard of for opening our mind and heart is to put yourself in a place and to put yourself in a place of listening to God is to put my mind in neutral. Not empty or off, but neutral. My first car was a Volkswagen Bug, and it had an H-shaped gear shift on the floor. Neutral was that crossbar of the H. So when I want to listen to God, I literally imagine myself taking the gear shift lever and moving it into that neutral space. And then you wait. We don't know how long Sam had to wait for God to speak the fourth time, but it probably felt like ages. To indicate his openness to God, Sam said out loud, "Speak, for your servant is listening." We indicate our readiness through our actions by putting ourselves in a listening space. Some people even find it helpful, like Sam, to say, "I'm listening." Again, I'll tell you that everything in me at this point wants to run or get really busy. Holding that waiting space is difficult. It's uncertain. Sometimes if I'm having trouble waiting, if thoughts are crowding my mind, the question, "Jesus, what do you want me to know?" is helpful. It's such a simple question, but there is a power in that simplicity. "Jesus, what do you want me to know?" Returning to that primary concern of what might God speaking to us look like, because it's one of the things we don't talk about very often in church. How do we distinguish it from our own thoughts? Lynn Button says, "You have to practice. Images and pictures don't come fully formed with a frame, nor are they like a video. They come as a shadowy image, the edge of a thought, a blob of knowing that even as you're putting words to it, sounds like you know more than you do. Learn to stop analyzing and start just going with it." And then I love this question, "If this were it from God, what might it be and mean?" Norberg and Weber describe what God's voice sounds like this way. "God speaks in many different ways, and grace gives us the eyes to see and ears to hear. For example, God may speak through pictures that form in our mind as we pray, or in ideas that seem to float into our awareness. We may suddenly remember a verse from Scripture, a hymn text, or something that happened long ago. Or God may speak through dreams or events, or in words we hear or read. The important thing is to pray for the grace to know God's voice, to test it a bit, and then to act in faith on the discernment given, trusting that God will correct us if we've not heard quite clearly." For me, often, it's the shadowy image, the edge of a thought, like Lynn described. My first reaction is usually, "That can't be it." And I try to sort of mentally push it away. Often it comes back, and I find that my mental nudges stop working. So I can't go over it, I can't go under it, I can't go around it, it's just sitting there. And I share that sensation that the disciples have of, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" So we place ourselves in God's presence. We pray for the grace to know God's voice. We put our mind in neutral and we wait, adding, "Lord, I'm listening," or "Jesus, what do you want me to know?" or something else if that feels helpful. We discover that sometimes what we hear is immediate, sharp, and clear, and sometimes it's a shadowy image or the edges of a thought. And we have to ask ourselves, if this were from God, what might it be and mean? Looking again at our passage, the message God gave Sam was for Eli, and Sam then needed to tell Eli what he had heard from God. It was a hard message. God told Sam that he was going to judge Eli's family because Eli had known they were sinning and hadn't restrained them. Sam dreaded having to tell Eli this. Fortunately, Eli was righteous enough to insist that Sam tell him what God had said, and then to acknowledge that it was from God, even if it was something he didn't want to hear. Practicing this kind of listening today is much less definite than it was for the prophets. Mistakes are possible. We need to come to it with a good dose of humility and a gentle spirit. Could this be misused to hurt people? Absolutely. We've all either heard about or maybe experienced personally someone in a congregation going up to another person and saying something like, "God told me to tell you that your skirt is too short." So yes, this can be misused. That's why we offer what was heard tentatively, often asking if the image or words mean anything to the other person. It's also why it's good to be careful about who we practice it with, and to try to only do it with people whose hearts we know are open to God. And we need to practice wisdom and discernment about what we pass on, Sometimes if something really difficult shows up, it's better to not pass it on at the moment and to continue to pray that God would reveal to you whether you should actually say it or not. Often when I've practiced this with a group, we listen on behalf of the person next to us. One night, a woman who was new to the group and was listening on behalf of Jen said, "I kept hearing, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant,' over and over again. Does that mean anything to you?" Jen burst into tears. What the woman didn't know was that Jen had just resigned after 7 years of working as an ER nurse and another year working with brain cancer patients. She had realized that she was utterly exhausted and needed to quit. But for a number of weeks, there had been this niggling thought in the back of her mind that she should have been able to stick it out. I knew she'd quit, and I knew why, but I didn't know about the niggling doubt. God did, though, and was able to exquisitely tailor God's message to her because this other woman was willing to listen on her behalf. It was amazingly freeing because that doubt that had been dragging her down was swept away. And more than that, she had had God's affirmation that she'd done her job well. Why would we want to try this method of listening to God? Because we have a God who is willing to break into our lives in unexpected ways. A God who doesn't give up. A God who wants to communicate with us, to speak to us specifically, in the midst of the realities of our life. Watching God bless someone else through us gives us a new sense of God's power and exquisite love. Listening to God is a skill that can be nurtured. God continued to reveal himself to Sam, and it became recognized that Sam was a prophet who heard God speak. So I invite you to consider trying this, to explore your ability to hear from God and even to try to develop it. It's pretty well guaranteed that you will feel awkward, vulnerable, frustrated, and it would also require moving out of your comfort zone. But what you encounter might be worth it. God might be just waiting to speak to you personally and intimately in the presence of others for their joy and edification and for God to be glorified. And that is an awesome and sacred experience. Place yourself in God's presence. Pray for the grace to know God's voice. Put your mind in neutral and wait. And if it helps you to open your heart, add, "Lord, I'm listening," or, "Jesus, what do you want me to know?" Try it with a few people. Experiment. Play with it. It's not science, but it could be interesting and life-giving. If you have trouble or get stuck, notice which of the steps you get stuck on, and that might help you to figure out some ways to work through that or get past that. If you have limited mobility and energy, choose someone and practice it on their behalf. Take what God gives you and use it as a basis to pray for them. Share it with them if it seems appropriate. Invite people together one evening to practice listening to God on behalf of Albany Mennonites. What images, verses, songs, or words might God give you if you listened on behalf of this congregation? We can't hear unless we listen. Consider listening in a new way. Consider developing your ability to hear God more clearly and listening for a new understanding of how deeply God loves us, delights in us, and wants to meet us where we are. Amen.